Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 139 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, the UK's only dedicated sports podcast network, and also Fanatics. With pre-season over, pretty much, it's time to look ahead on today's episode and look back a little bit on obviously what's happened during pre-season as well, on and off the pitch. And there's no better place to start, really, than the American tour, to be honest. We've obviously spoken about it briefly on the last show. Obviously it didn't go particularly well on the field, let's be honest. You know, Everton didn't score a goal. We shipped six goals, obviously two to Arsenal, and then an appalling 4-0 defeat there against Minnesota, in a game that we looked very, very susceptible on the break, and for me, you know, quite poor defensively and offering very little in attack, which is a concern, obviously, with the season now down the corner. It is a massive concern. I mean, we have said, obviously, on the previous show, you can't read too much into pre-season, but you would like to see, obviously, new ideas coming in and the players putting those ideas into action, which I don't think we really saw. But Lee, obviously, you know, you've looked at some of the footage. You saw some of the game live against Arsenal. And I was just the only foolish one to stay up until 3 in the morning to watch the Minnesota game, which I'm never getting back. How do you feel after seeing those games, especially, you know, taking Blackpool and Dynamo Kiev out of the equation? How do you feel after watching that tour in particular?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've said this, like you said last week, pre-season is pre-season. It gives the manager a chance to, yes, get the fitness up at the side, we said that, but also maybe just to, you know, look at an identity and trial in games that don't carry any weight, you know, different styles. It's clear Frank wants us to play, you know, his philosophy is to play, you know, attacking front foot, high pressing football. And he tried that. We all know he tried that when he first came in, and he quickly realised that we haven't got the personnel to do that. And then reverted to being obviously more defensive. And we, you know, we gave him kudos for that, for changing his philosophy to try and get the results. And in the end, it just about worked out. But yeah, I still think he wants us to play that way. He said himself, didn't he, post-match, that, you know, he went back to a back five. He felt the team was more secure with that. He tried the back four against Minnesota, and we started the game well. But like you just said there, you know, we just looked so susceptible to when we lost the ball out of possession. And the back four just didn't look like a unit at all, did it? So that's a little concern, and it will be of a concern to him. Look, it's pre-season, and Adrian, he's got it bob on, saying, look, he said himself, I've had pre-seasons where we've been hammered in pre-season. We haven't won a game. And then we've gone into the league and won the first four or five games. And I've had pre-seasons where we've won every game. And then, you know, you can't buy a result when the league starts. So he said, I've had both ends. So you can't, and yet you can't read too much into it. And he said himself, you know, they're a team pushing for the league on their side. They're obviously 21 games in, or they were 21 games in. They looked a lot fitter, sharper. That was always going to be the case. You know, you have to bear in mind that it was, you know, really hot, humid conditions. Lads were doing triple sessions in training, weren't they, and then playing a match. So the legs were going to go. So not trying to make excuses, but, you know, Frank did say after the game, in particular, the Minnesota one, saying that it has given him food for thought. And he was quite disappointed with the players collectively and individually. You know, that is a kick up the backside for the lads, isn't it? And I'm glad in a way, even though obviously it was an adverse result, it maybe has given them that sort of like hang on a minute, you know, the last season was tough. We're not going to suddenly walk into this season and suddenly be top half. And we clearly need to get bodies through the door. And that's another thing. I'm hoping that's going to jolt it as well. And it's all come to the fore now, hasn't it, in terms of, you know, we're in a really tough position financially to be able to offer any sort of funds up front. We did talk about that on the last podcast. I think I read one tweet saying Everton are trying to sign players on Klarna, which is a great, great shout. But going back to your initial point, yeah, it just doesn't seem to be any goals in this team at the minute. That's the biggest worry, isn't it? Obviously, the midfield's a worry as well, but there just doesn't seem to be any goals. We've said it all along. Dom's not going to go past three or four and bang it in the top corner, is he? He needs service. He needs crosses. He needs movement around him. You know, he needs good deliveries and quality in the final third to score goals like he did. But I just wanted to see what you boys thought. You know, one of the biggest things for me, guys, is that take your mind back to this time 2 years ago. You know, we were bouncing into the season under Carlo Ancelotti with so much optimism, weren't we? You know, we had James Rodriguez had signed in. We had Alan that had come in. We suddenly had this sort of like real optimism, and it's turned from optimism to almost real sort of negativity, hasn't it, in the space of 2 years, and like fans' division, you know, lack of belief, and it's kind of like a polar opposite to what it was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
It's massively, massively different, and it's, you know, things have really changed. And like you say, you look back to that pre-season under Carlo when we had James coming in, Alan, Decore, and you know, you thought we were turning a corner. Almost, and we had a mind you could attract certain levels of players, and it felt much different than what it actually feels at this moment in time. And obviously, we know the situation we're in financially. You know, there's other things going on around that, which we will discuss that in the second part of today's show. But you know, you don't want to go into a season full of doom and gloom. There's a lot of negativity floating around again. We've said it before, you know, we seem to have lost that positivity that we, if you can say that, you know, or the relief which brought some positivity at the back end of last season. And the togetherness, I think it's gone again. You know, the fan base is massively fractured, you know, even as bad as it was previously. There's a lot, you know, on the manager's plate. Let's get it right. You know, he's going to want to bring more new players in. It's a struggle. We know that. We're not putting much money down up front. So we've got time left in the window to sort that out, but it's got to be sorted sooner rather than later to, you know, to give the manager options and bring about a bit more positivity. Because obviously, again, we've said we'd love to see players come in and start, you know, the whole pre-season. You know, new players, bed them in. Unfortunately, we're not in a position and haven't been in a position to do that, besides bringing in obviously one player at the start of July. But Pete, I mean, going back to America, you know, what are you taking from it, if anything? You know, is there any positive to be taken from it?
I think it's difficult, isn't it? After the Arsenal game, we all spoke about, you know, perspective, you know, pre-season being about getting the squad back together, trying out new ideas, as you say, building fitness, you know, minutes in the legs, all of this. But then you look at the Minnesota result and how we played in that game and the goals we conceded. And you think, gosh, you know, first half, we've got a strong lineup out there. It's hard not to be worried about that. It's really hard. And I found myself sort of tussling with it the other day, thinking, what season was it where we got beat by that second string German side, Paderborn? Was it 3-0? And I can remember panicking that year, thinking, what's happened in this preseason, and you know, we're going to fall apart, and we're not ready, and we performed well. I can't remember how we finished that year. It's so hard not to read into losses. I mean, I think there's a reasonable argument for it never being okay to lose 4-0 when you're Everton Football Club. You know, regardless of what happened last season. And, you know, we shouldn't be losing 4-0 to Minnesota, regardless of how fit they are or how far into their season they are. And like you say, hopefully new signings will be incoming, but how late into the window are they going to come? And then, you know, if we don't get a reasonable start, you know, if we lose, God forbid, you know, handful of games on the spin, we're in a very, very difficult position when those new players come in. So it feels pretty precarious at the moment. And I think everyone, there's just a bit of a sense of helplessness about it because we don't really know what position we're in, exactly how much money we've got to spend. I think in the back of my mind, I've got these fantasies that we're going to pull off, you know, some kind of late deal for Brozier, now that West Ham have sort of sunk their funds into that Italian forward, or, you know, maybe we'll still bring in, you know, Gallagher or a couple of loans. But it feels like a tough time for Everton right now.
I think unity, one of the things that got us over the stretch last season was the unity, wasn't it, between the team and the fans. And it was amazing to see, and especially at home, you know, it really carried us over the line. I think Frank, you know, has alluded to that, and it's key, you know, particularly at home again, that we build that sort of unity with the fan base. Obviously, we had the protests, the 27 years campaign. Got no issue with that. If people want to, you know, got every right to campaign for a better future. We all want that for a better, you know, club. What I would say about that, and it'd be interesting to see your boys' thoughts on it, is it's a bit of a confused message at the minute. What are we campaigning against exactly? I think, you know, whilst there are elements of it in terms of, look, we all agree the club needs to have world-class team on the pitch, yes. The club, in order to get there, the club needs world-class people in the boardroom, isn't it? And people to run the club. I think we all agree with that. You know, we want world-class people at the helm there, football people, business people who have been in these sort of positions, either in football or in business or whatever it may be. But I just think, you know, on that particular front, I think that they do need, you know, all that the casual fan will see, not an Everton fan that is, but other fans on Sky Sports, turning that on, will just see, why are Everton fans protesting in pre-season after losing to Minnesota? You know what I mean? They won't look into the depth of it, will they? They'll look into, go, why are they protesting there? What's going on? It's only pre-season. You know what I mean? So what we don't want is to have this thing around our neck going, Everton fans are campaigning again or protesting again. So I do think, you know, whilst I agree with some of the things that I've read that they've said, and as I said, they've got every right, I do feel that they do need to be joined up. They do need to have, I think, a singular spokesperson speaking on their behalf with a clear message. You know, whether that's someone that they elect internally, whether that's someone they put forward, I don't know. I don't mind. I just think there needs to be more of a sort of a clear, I think more fans will then get on board with that if there is a clear message, if you like, and a clear sort of like, this is what we want. This is exactly what we feel the club's lacking. And if we don't, we could quite soon, what Pete just alluded to there, which is bang on. If we lose the first three games, say, and we're bottom of the table or something like that, you know, the rumours are Frank wasn't, albeit rumours, apparently not too happy. Go, what are we protesting about? You know, suddenly we could have a really split negative fan base again where it becomes toxic. And then that affects the players on the pitch. You know, it then affects the manager. Is the manager then suddenly under threat after the first, say, half a dozen games because we've had a bad start? You know, that's why unity, and like you just said there, Mike, the positivity carrying over from last season, albeit in dire circumstances, it was a positive. We need to carry that into this season because that will get the team over the line in matches. It did it last year, and it should do hopefully next year. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah. It's really, really tricky, isn't it? Because we all want better. I think that there's definitely a consensus that everyone's on the same page in terms of what we actually want as a fan base in terms of wanting better. We can all probably agree that the way the club is being managed at boardroom level has not been good. A lot, and too many mistakes have been made, in my opinion. People should be held accountable and questions asked of people. I totally agree with all that. Because, you know, the money which is being ploughed into the club for us to be where we were last season, and, you know, where we've been really, you know, we've not been knocking on the door of Europe for a number of seasons, really. I know, obviously, Carlo's full season we did, but we fell away. And for us, and for the money which is being ploughed in, that's not good enough. You know, some of the signings that have been made are not being good enough. And I understand all that because we're all massively, massively frustrated, angry, the fact that we aren't challenging as a football club at the right end of the table, and obviously looking to try and win a trophy. That's what we all want, what we all strive for, and what it's all about. I'm certainly concerned with the huge split in the fan base. Again, I always say that social media is not, you know, a true reflection of the fan base. If we look at the protest that occurred, you know, last weekend, it wasn't attended by huge numbers. So what you see on social media, you think that everyone's, you know, or a lot of people are of the same feeling. But when you look at the numbers you attended, you think, well, it doesn't really reflect what I'm seeing on social media. So that's also something which I think social media certainly brings a louder voice to things. But then there's a lot of dissension from fans who want change and want things to be better, but don't feel that maybe this is the correct way to go about it. You know, they think maybe, like you said, Lee, already, you know, the message needs to be that bit clearer. They need to elect maybe a spokesperson, be a bit more transparent. I'm not going down the road of, you know, naming names of people and things like that, but I think there needs to be a bit more structure to it. And, you know, with all, you know, in all fairness, they're trying to find their feet, of course. You know, it's still relatively new as an enterprise, if you can call it that. But I still feel that there's a lot of work that needs to be done from their end to maybe get their message a little bit clearer. I do question the timing of the protest, I've got to be honest. I do question the timing. And the reason that I say that is, you know, we're already in a difficult position, which I know is one of the reasons why the protests have occurred in terms of trying to bring players in. But what you know, what player's going to look at that and think, oh, I'll go to Everton, that looks like a quite a relaxed, calm club at this moment in time, a club that I can settle into, I can relax, play me football. People will look at that, players will look at them and think, I'm not going there. And maybe that's me overthinking it, but I don't think it is. You know, I know me personally, if I looked at that, I think I don't want to go there. You know, we already know what our fan base can be like at times and the toxicity, and I'm seeing it come back again, and that's a real concern. And I know the message is, you know, back the team, sack the board. That's the general message. I don't think it's as easy as that, because these things always spill over, and these things always get into players' heads, into managers' and coaching staff's heads, and that's my biggest concern, I've got to be honest. And it's not about slating anybody for believing what they believe and taking action. And I applaud people who stand up for what they believe in. You know, we've all got our own opinions. But I do question that time, and I don't know what you two think about that. But that's the one thing.
I think that's a really good point, that, Mike, about signings. You know, people who are on, they might be weighing up, shall I join them or them or them, or, you know, like a Brozier, maybe, say, or a Gibbs White or whatever. So, yeah, it's a really good point in that respect. We don't want to seem like a fractured club before the season even starts. And I don't know what you think, Pete. Do you agree with those points? Do you think it's, look, everyone's got a right to protest, haven't they? I've got no problem with that. We all want a better club. We all want the same. You know, we want world class on and off the pitch, it's like I said. But what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's ill-timed, like Mike says. You know, we had that amazing momentum at the end of the season, the unity back amongst the fans, and it's a shame we can't take that into the start of the season when, again, the team still really, really need a similar level of unity and support from the fan base, don't they? We're a club in a really difficult position and we're looking to rebuild. I think it's hard to do that when, like you say, Lee, you've got a lot of anger that comes from a, you know, really understandable place, but has a lot of really quite confused points and messages. You know, it's really clear that some sections of the fan base are unhappy, but it's not very clear, like we've discussed on previous podcasts, what it is the fans specifically want the club to do. You know, it's all very vague, and I just think that makes it so unhelpful. I think improvements across the board. I think there's things that we as fans could be doing a bit better for the club, and it's clear that you know, the club, I've got a lot of work to do as well. But again, we're not privy to what goes on behind the scenes, are we? And the full extent of things. So I think all we can do as fans is get behind them, until we've got reason not to.
Yeah, it's not just as simple as saying, okay, look, we need better people, maybe more qualified people to run the club. It's not just as simple as Mashiri has taken on board. He has communicated with us a few times since. He said he was going to do it more. You know, it's not just as simple, right, get Mashiri, and then guess what? We'll get somebody else in, and they'll run it like a dream. You know what I mean? It's not a guarantee that whatsoever. You know, you've got to be careful what you wish for sometimes. You know, Mashiri's pumped a lot of his own money in. Yes, we can all see now that he's been too hands-on, too heavily involved, especially with the links with, you know, the agent with Keir Jarabchin and people like that. You know, they've almost like gone over the likes of Brands' head and people like who were clearly there to make the decisions and running the club and signings. You know, I'd probably say people like Denise, who's come across from the charity side of the club, you know, Everton, the community, and by all accounts done a great job there. It's a very, very different role than running a football club, isn't it? Where you're a global commercial entity compared to running a charity like Everton, the community, which is one of the best. Very different role. And, you know, there's been rumours around now that she's been on the verge of going for a while. And, you know, if I'm being honest, I'd probably want someone in that role who's, you know, done that type of role before and you know, has clearly got, you know, the CV to be able to do it, or certainly being at the higher end of, like, you know, a corporation and being at the higher end of a global type corporation. Because let's be honest, that's what Everton Football Club are now. OK, we're still miles behind a lot of others when it comes to that. But that role there is purely, you know, to run the football club and generate as much commercial revenue worldwide. You know what I mean? Not just in L4, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's there to literally generate and make us that commercial entity. And if I'm being honest, I don't think she's really fully qualified for that role. But, you know, that's another discussion on another day. But I don't know whether you agree with that same point, Mike.
It all ties in, doesn't it? You know, in terms of when we're talking about messages and being clear, I think that's what we need, more meat on the bone, really, in terms of, you know, each individual thing. Because I know something came out on Friday night in regards to, you know, reasons for protesting. But I think, you know, it's got to be in that little bit more detail in terms of when you say about sacking the board. Well, okay, well, let's look at each board member individually. Why, you know, whether it's Bill Kenwright, whether it's Denise Barrett-Baxendale, whatever it might be, then let's look at it individually and have, you know, points raised on each, really. I think that's a better way to go about it. I don't, you know, I'm not sitting here defending anybody in any way, shape or form, but I just think we need a little bit more structure to things. And yeah, I don't think, you know, she is really qualified to take the role that she's taken. I think when obviously Robert Elstone went, it was more the fact that Robert Elstone went and people were happy that he had gone. So you maybe could have brought in Ziffy from Rainbow and people would have been happy with that because it's just another name. You know, I don't know. But it's something which has got to be, you know, obviously got to be looked at. Whether the club were concerned by what happened yesterday, I don't know. I know there was media down there. And I know there was Sky there, local media as well. So I don't know whether the club were too concerned by that. But I just don't want to go into the season, you know, on the back of so much negativity, because we know we're in a difficult situation. And we want to try and back the players as best we can. Frank Lampard's got a difficult situation. He's been dealt a difficult hand. And, you know, he hasn't got a great deal of resources to call upon, probably for the first few games of the season, to be honest. You know, and that's, we've got to make sure that we're on top form come that first game of the season, backing the players, giving everything that we have. You know, like Chelsea, when Chelsea came to town last season and we did what we did, we've got to do the same again, because we've got to really pull the team so we can get a few more players through the door. We've really got to play our part. And I think on the backdrop of this, obviously the fans' protest, the campaign which is going on, and the you know, what I see as quite a big split in the fan base, I think it's gonna be quite difficult, I think, maybe to get fans back to that level of, you know, backing the team as we were doing.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. And, you know, let's say Denise went now, for example, they felt that, you know, she wasn't quite right for the role. She went, and someone like a David Dean came in, You know what I mean? He worked really successfully, for example, at Arsenal for all those years under Wenger. You know, as a club, then we go, right, that's a really good appointment, isn't it? You know, this guy was at the helm of one of the best teams that's ever played in the top flight of English football. You know what I mean? So suddenly you're thinking, this guy's qualified. He knows how to run a club. He knows what it takes. He knows how to, you know, so all of a sudden then you look at City. It took them a good few years to get it right, didn't it? They didn't just rock in and then suddenly were challenging at the top end. Yes, they weren't as roller coaster as we are, and they weren't in a relegation battle. But you know, eventually the penny dropped with them and went, right, we need to get these top people in behind the scenes here. And we need to get them, you know, basically who know how to run a football club. And ultimately their end game, wasn't it, was to bring some of the ex-Barcelona over so they can eventually entice Pep. And that's what they did. And they eventually got their man. And now, you know, they've won 4 out of the last 5 leagues. You know what I mean? Which is incredible. So, you know, we need to sort of see those sort of strides that happen, you know, with a long-term feel to it. And just basically making intelligent decisions as a football club at the top. You know what I mean? Like I said, if they brought in like I'm not saying it is David Dean, but you know what I mean? Someone that type of character who's clearly got the credentials and knows what they're doing. I think that would then appease fans that were kind of making intelligent decisions.
Yeah, we will only know that when and if it happens. That remains to be seen. Whether we have, you know, this campaign gathers further momentum, and we start to get more and more communication out to the club from Farhad Moshiri, again, remains to be seen. Most important thing for me though at the moment is, and like I said already, is us backing the players, the manager, the squad that we've got. No point sitting on Twitter and social media moaning about the, you know, how woeful the squad is, etc., which I've seen countless times. Helps nobody. We've got to back them. We will get some players through the door before the transfer window closes, and the aim is to come out of the window stronger than how we entered it. And you know, there's nothing more important now than looking ahead to that first game of the season against Chelsea, which is just obviously around the corner. And that's what we're going to discuss after this short break.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Welcome back to the second half of today's Unholy Trinity podcast. And it's all eyes on the first game of the season. It's come round pretty quickly. You know, we think back to the end of last season, that defeat, the heavy defeat away at Arsenal, when, as we've said countless times, the Everton players have been sinking for probably 2 or 3 days. And we were just at that relief that we'd stayed in the Premier League a few days earlier against Crystal Palace. So it was the game was almost a write-off, but the new season's come round quickly, earlier than normal because of the Winter World Cup. And we're going to be back at Goodison Park against Chelsea. You know, we think back to last season, how pivotal that game was, you know, when we had that Richarlison goal in, holding the flare, throwing the flare over the Gladys Street and so on. Smoke bomb. People like to distinguish between flares and smoke bombs, I found out. But it's, as first games of the season go, Pete, it's a massive first game of the season, isn't it? You know, looking at what Chelsea have done in the transfer window so far, they're going to come back stronger. We've lost a player that won us the game last season. So as first games go, it's going to be a massively, massively important occasion, isn't it?
It is, and maybe the saving grace we've got is that we're at home. And linking in with the previous section, I think as fans, we've got to go into that game with a similar energy to what we had at the end of last season, because it's clear it helped the club and the players so much. I think it's a strange game. It's a strange time, I think, both for Chelsea and Everton. Of course, they're not quite in the type of situation that we are, but they've had an awful lot of instability, maybe some similarities with things that have happened at sort of board level in terms of financial restrictions, some of their key players leaving or looking to leave because there's mass uncertainty around Chelsea as a club, and that's clearly already filtering through to the players in their pre-season. So I think they've won one game so far against Club America. Then they lose to Charlotte on penalties, lose to Arsenal at the time of recording last night or this morning, 4-0. Tuchel's having a paddy and clearly isn't happy. So they seem to be really struggling, I think, with their club unity, their squad, their mentality. And maybe the hope is that we're at home, we can try and get our house in order and maybe capitalise on playing them at what I hope will be at the right time and manage to get something from the game. But I think it'll be an intriguing one, regardless of anyone that we bring in. I think it'll be a bit of a strange game, really.
Oh, yeah, hugely. As I said in the first part of the show, it's going to be down to us again to make it a really hostile atmosphere, one that Chelsea find it difficult to play in. I know obviously they've made some quality additions to their squad. But the Chelsea side that came last season were a very, very good side as well, a very good manager. But we show what we can do on that particular day. So we've got to do our utmost to make it really difficult for them to play the football. And that's to say from the terraces, the players have got to be on it, got to be intense, got to be in the faces, throwing the foot in, being physical. And you've got to hope we've got, our best 11 available, if you like, for that game, for us to go in there with some positivity. Important to start the game off on a positive note, or the season, should I say, on a positive note, isn't it, Lee? Whether it's a win, whether it's a draw, we've got to give us as fans something to build upon, and the team something to build upon for over the next few weeks.
Yeah, totally agree. They've lost some key players, haven't they? They lost, certainly Rudiger at the back was a key player, lost Christensen as well, both the free transfers. Chelsea have always been known, haven't they, ever since they've come into Munnings, that have been really solid, having a really solid defence. Tuchel, when he first came in, really made them, I think they had a crazy run, didn't they, where they barely conceded a goal. Losing those two is key for them, and they're trying to replace them. Obviously, they've been in the link with the likes of Koulibaly and Koundé and people, haven't they? So it'd be interesting to see how they recruit. And no doubt they'll want to get these players in themselves before the first game. Interesting, obviously, they brought the likes of Sterling in, who I think will be a really good signing for them. Regardless of what you think of Raheem, I still think he's a proven Premier League player. He's a good footballer. Yes, he can be a bit sort of wasteful at times, but, he will improve them, I think, and add more goals to the team. It really will be interesting. Obviously, Lukaku's gone at a really indifferent time there. That was always going to happen. We knew that. It will be an interesting game, like you said. When we beat them in that really important game, that, let's be honest, that was a game that win kept us up, didn't it? So, we were all over them like a rash. The crowd were up for it. Yes, we rode our luck at times, and obviously Pickford made one of the best saves ever, didn't he, of the Premier League, never mind of that season. That save again arguably kept us in the league. It's the crowd will be up for it. We all know that. First game of the season. The key is that we're competitive, isn't it? That we stay in the game like we did on that particular day, and when we cause them problems, which I think we will do. Obviously, you said no Richarlison. Sadly, we move on from that now. He caused them all sorts of problems that particular day. And the goal came from us just closing them down, didn't we? And just being actually horrible to play against. So, yeah, I mean, there have been a few, albeit very small, murmurings. I know that Werner has stated he wants to leave, potentially go back to Germany or certainly leave Chelsea. If we could nab someone like him, who was had a fantastic goal-scoring record in Germany, he's come to Chelsea on a big price tag with a big reputation of scoring goals. Obviously, hasn't quite worked for him. He's a player I watch and just think, how many chances does this lad create in a game or get in a game? His movement's exceptional. He just seems to miss, obviously, a lot of these chances. And that's the reputation, sadly, he's built since he's come to Chelsea. But if all of a sudden we could nab someone like him, either on loan or even a cut down fee or whatever, you know what I mean? Him playing off the left with all that pace and ability to cut in and ability to sort of find himself space in the box. I think Everton fans would love someone like him. And I know it's a big thing to ask, but don't get me wrong, he's probably on big wages as well. But if we could nab someone like him through the door, can you imagine the lift that would give us as fans and even the players, someone like him, German international, who instantly would give you a goal threat, wouldn't he, just by playing on that left-hand side?
Yeah, we certainly need more goal threats, that's for sure. That's one thing, like we said earlier on the show, that during pre-season, we haven't looked particularly great. Options limited. We've already got, Calvert-Lewin and Demi Gray missed the Blackpool game, not in the squad as a precaution. It was said at the time. So, when you start to lose one or two options, it shows you how threadbare we are in terms of people in attacking positions. You've got Rondon playing a game, Dele Alli's playing out of position. And you struggle then, and that's what we need to really address. That midfield there is really important, of course. Look, that's probably the key. Defensively, we'd probably go with what we've got. I would have thought maybe bring in one more if someone else moves on. But we've got to address the attacking options, and someone like a Timo Werner, whether that's an option, I don't know. But there's other players out there that we've got to look to maybe bring in who are flexible, who are adaptable, who can play, two or three positions in the attacking area, because that's a big concern. And in this kind of game against Chelsea, this is the kind of game where you've really got to take your chances when they come. We're not going to have 15, 20 shots, I wouldn't have thought. It's going to be a case of being solid, being disciplined and playing to whatever strengths you have to try and nab it. Have a goal on the day, and that's what does concern me. But as we said already, time to address it, time to bring players in. I know the minds is probably frustrated, as we all are, with the lack of transfer activity. But that's really key for me. But whether we get any in before that Chelsea game before kickoff, that remains to be seen. Let's see how it goes. Difficult start, but we go in there with positivity. We're in the league where we believe we should be, and we fought so hard to remain in, and we've got to show that we deserve to be in the league and look to push on as much as we can in the new season. And that all starts against Chelsea on Saturday. So let's have our first round of predictions for the season, if we can, Pete. Are you going to Goodison Park with hope and optimism?
it's dwindling. It's there. I've got the embers of hope. If we can do a little bit of business, I'm sure when I get there, first game of the season, not being at Goodison in a while, it will ignite. But yeah, despite that, I'm going to go for a 0-0 draw. I think we've struggled to score. I think Chelsea have struggled to score a little bit. Both teams out of sorts. First game, I think it'll be a tough 0-0, I think.
That's a classic Pete prediction, that. 0-0 first game of the season. Brilliant.
Lee, what are you saying? Are you going for a boring 0-0?
No, it's really, really, really hard to predict, isn't it? Because we just don't know, what levels of fitness players are coming in, what players are available, signings, things like that. So it's a real tricky one. One thing you don't want to do first game, particularly at home, is lose. So I'm going to say 1-1. I'm going to say 1-1. I think there'll be a couple of goals, possibly more. I just think it'd be interesting to see what Frank does, like I said before earlier in the pod, whether he will have sort of the bottle, really, to try and play maybe four at the back, a 4-3-3 or whatever, and see if the players can deal with that and still be solid, or whether he will possibly revert back to being tough to beat and then slowly but surely maybe bring in his philosophy. I think he needs to do the latter, personally, and not just potentially go gung-ho like we did when he first came. Well, not even gung-ho, but you know what I mean? Just play a bit more open, expansive football. And, you know, we saw what happened at someone like Spurs, for example, who just picked us off at ease, didn't they? So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But I'm just envious, just quickly anyway. Just you look at other teams, it would say we weren't far off the likes of Arsenal, for example, and Spurs, to name two. They just, you know, if you're one of their fans at the minute, they just seem to have signed for me pretty well, and very well for me, I think. And you know, just signing that player, not quite at world class level, but below that level, and just generally intelligent signings, isn't it? That will improve their team, and will, like, you know, just the squad just looks balanced. You know, and then you look at our situation, we just think, like, we just seem a million miles off that. And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to say it as it is. Do you know what I mean? It's just, we weren't far off these guys, and then now it just looks like it's just a bridge too far, isn't it?
Yeah, this summer has been difficult watching on, and I hate comparing us to other teams, but you do see other sides strengthening a fair bit, doing quite a bit of business. Like you say, sides that were in and around us that we weren't too far away from. But it's important not to be sort of dragged down by that, because, you know, some of these sides that have brought in quite a few players have also lost some key members of their squads as well, to be able to really spend a lot of money. So all depends on how their new signings bed in, and how long it takes for them to bed in to have an impact. But we've got to put out of our minds and look, you know, we'll look back on this window when it's over, and we can then assess to see how we come out of it stronger, and where that can take us this season. But I'm gonna agree with you, Lee. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw. I'm hopeful, like, we get something from the game. Important that we do. Got to start the season off on some kind of positive footing. And I think getting something in the first game against a really good Chelsea side, who I think will be that little bit closer this season to the top two, I really do. More time with Tuchel, you know, more quality signings brought in. I think they'll be pushing Man City and our neighbours a little bit closer than they did last season. So tough game, but I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. And that is us for this week. We will be back to look back on the Chelsea game. I'll be sunning myself in Walt Disney World. I'll be watching the Chelsea game, hopefully from some bar down International Drive. So hopefully I can get the game on. So Lee will be doing the introductions, which will be fun. First time ever my Dulcet Tones will not don the introductions. So I look forward to hearing that from a distance. Understandably, if people want to switch off for that week again, I totally get it. But
hold on, big shoes to fill. But me and Pete and no doubt a guest will be totally fine, won't you, mate?
Yeah, well, listen, I look forward to it. It's been interesting for me to listen back to a show that my voice isn't on, to be honest. So that'll be nice for the flight home anyway, to listen back on that. But we'll be back.
You're taking 2 weeks off, right, at the start of the season. You might be replaced by a Bosman when you get back, mate.
Well, listen, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. You know, no issue with that. I might go on a free transfer somewhere else myself. So let's see what happens. But we appreciate everyone who's tuned in today. Hopefully you can catch us again after the Chelsea game. Hopefully it's positive. Hopefully we've got a couple more signings through the door as well over the next couple of weeks or so. So we'll catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three Blues. Three Opinions. One Everton Podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.